with us. It is great to have you with us. And if you are a guest in town, it's good to have you here as well. At some point in the service, there are in front of you some guest cards that we would love for you to fill out and place in our offering plate when the offering is passed later.
Let us get to know you a little bit more and how we can serve you. And also, to those folks who are here every week, who we call family and community, and who we walk through life together with, it is good to have you in this place, and may we all worship together. Would you join me in this call to worship? We gather to praise our God. We gather to follow Jesus. We gather to listen to the Holy Spirit. In this hour, may we be challenged to share from our abundance, to build communities of justice, and to welcome the outsiders into our lives.
It is the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. 100 years ago today, there was an armistice which was completed, and it was the end, or marked the end, of what was referred to as the war to end all wars, or the Great War, World War I. Today, as we pray together, as we worship together, we are partly able to be here because of what happened there. We continue to be able to be here because of those who serve. Armistice Day has become known as Veterans Day. It is celebrated on November 11th. As we remember all of those who serve us, let us also remember that we have a part in bringing the end to all wars as we serve the Prince of Peace. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us beyond our ability to express our thanks to you. We come together today in this place of worship that you've made available for us by generations that succeeded us, and we are grateful. You've given to us the mission to be your loving presence in this world. Cause us to be good disciples of that mission. And even as we celebrate those veterans who've given the ultimate sacrifice of their lives and service for this country, and as we celebrate the families and those veterans who continue to give sacrifices on our behalf, we thank you for them and ask that you might bless them. Help us, O Lord, as we worship you today, to be fully aware of your wonderful Holy Spirit who touches and transforms lives. Transform us now in this hour of worship. In your name we pray. Amen.
join me as we affirm our faith together? We believe in one God, the creator of the universe, and in Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, who lived and died among us, that through faith he might always dwell in our hearts. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who in comfort or chastisement leads us to the will of God. We believe in the church, community of the redeemed, gathered to follow Christ's mission, fellowship, stewardship, and service. We believe in the scriptures, the word of God, given for reproof, correction, guidance unto salvation, and the maturity of the saints. We believe God loves us. Christ died for us. The Holy Spirit remains with us. And the church on earth is for the abounding praise of God. Good morning, y'all. So this morning, if you read the top of the bulletin, you will know that today is our church's Stewardship Sunday. Okay? And so what that basically means is that we, as a church community who is here, we get a chance to give because we believe in what God is doing in this place. And what's neat about that is that today we get to give like money. I mean, that's kind of what we give on a Stewardship Sunday. But in reality, like everybody who is here, whether they're as young as you are or they're the oldest person here, everybody has something to give. And I think that's important for us to remember on our Stewardship Sunday. This morning, Will is going to read a passage about a story that Jesus tells. Where there are these people who are giving, and they're giving to the place that they go to church at. And there are these people who are giving money, and they have lots and lots and lots of money. And then there's this one person. We hear that she is a widow, and she barely has anything. And she comes in, and she gives these what little bit she has. And Jesus says, let me tell you something. That person right there who gave everything, they're doing a better job than the people who have lots of money and they're giving from their abundance. They're giving from what they already have. But Jesus says, that one, they're giving everything that they have. And when we think about giving today, what I want you to think about is that even though you might be young and there's lots of other people who are young, it doesn't mean there isn't something you can give for us. I think about when the children stand up and they sing. That's a gift that you all give to us. Or when you dance, that's a gift that you give to us. And sometimes when y'all teach us, that's a gift to all of us. And even if we don't have money to give, we still have gifts to give in this place. And so, today, as people are giving money, I want you to think of the gifts that you have that we can see you give throughout the whole rest of this year to make this place a place where people can see how God is moving. Can we do that and think about that as well? Thanks. You want to pray? Let's go. God, thank you for a day where we can set aside to think about the things that we give. And God, may we give from the gifts that you have given us, whether that be financial, whether that be the gift of song, the gift of knowledge, all sorts of gifts that we can use to bring glory to you. And may we do that this year. Amen.
The first lesson is 1 Kings 17, verses 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a cruse. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Fear not, go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal shall not be spent, and the cruse of oil shall not fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not spent, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Here ends the first reading.
Our second reading comes from the book of Psalm, Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. The Lord upholds the orphan and the widow. By the way of the wicked, the Lord brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. O God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Our gospel lesson today comes from the shortest and probably the oldest of the synoptic gospels, Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. And in his teaching, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to go about in long robes and to have salutations in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the multitude putting money in the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in 2 copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, her whole living." This is the written word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Around 2 weeks ago, when I was approached about bringing the message this Sunday, I was reminded we are having a stewardship emphasis with the theme, "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." It was not immediately evident to me how the lectionary texts, which we've read 3 of this morning, could apply to that particular theme. However, the concept of stewardship is much more than financial, and I appreciate, Josh, your emphasis on that in the children's sermon this morning. Our gifts and our monetary pledges are essential to sustaining the ministries of the church. If there might be a theme amongst the lectionary text today, it could possibly be God rewards faithfulness. But that's not the theme that I've chosen. I've chosen a different one. I've chosen one about compassion, the stewardship of compassion. When we think about stewardship, stewardship is really as old as creation itself. It's clearly evident that God created people to be good stewards of all creation. The responsibility to care for and to manage all of God's creation is a critical component to healthy spirituality and the wellness of our world community. God granted to us this blessing of oversight. Most of us understand the granting of authority by a higher power and what it means to receive a monetary grant. Grants are gifts with privilege and responsibility. Need I remind you of the statement which is perpetually made when degrees of graduation are conferred upon graduates? It goes something like this: "In addition to this degree that we bestow upon you, you receive all of the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining." So I think that kind of covers it all. Historically, kings would give land grants to persons, usually rewards for some act or acts of service. The recipients were expected to be responsible stewards of those grants. When my sister-in-law received the transfer of command last Saturday, she was granted the authority to be the commander of the support group. Over time, I've owned homes in two different places, two different subdivisions. One was named King's Wood, and the other is named King's Grant. I noticed in some of the paperwork regarding the first home in King's Wood that it had originally been a grant from King George to the colonists for ownership, care, and development. Now, as I turn into King's Grant, it causes me to think about a number of things, one of which is, what has the King, our Lord Christ, granted to me? The list is spectacular and growing, to say the least. Everything from faith, friends, family, good neighbors, a life, and on and on. As I began to think more about that, I was directed to remember that God has granted me profound compassion and designed me to be a compassionate person. The best way to respond to this awesome grant is expressing my gratitude by conveying compassion to others. The heart of Christian stewardship is compassion. Having received the abundant grace of compassion, our desire is to share healing compassion to a tragically broken world. Compassion is the link between, really, all of the lectionary readings for today. Elijah was compassionate to a non-Israelite widow, even as she was compassionate to him in feeding him because he was hungry. By the way, if you remember, this was the incident in Israel's history that Jesus set forth in his sermon at Nazareth, his hometown, and it almost got him killed because the people in his hometown didn't like the fact that God was showing favor to non-Jews, non-Israelites. Jesus was also compassionate in our lectionary readings to the widow who offered all she had to God's service by acknowledging her supreme sacrifice and dedication. In the passage from Hebrews 9, 24 through 28, which we did not read, Christ offers his own life to provide for the forgiveness of the sins of all people. Christ, as the great healer, modeled and used compassion for healing in his ministry. We need to emulate Christ responsibly sharing compassion with a diseased, evil, struggling, needy, and broken world to facilitate healing. When I was a director of spiritual care at Memorial Health a few years back, one of my responsibilities was to orient new nurses. When a new group of nurses was coming into the system, I represented spiritual care. As a part of that responsibility, one of my objectives was to try to help and challenge those nurses to be aware of the healing power of compassion and to employ it as necessary in holistic nursing or healing. There is an internationally acclaimed healer, clairvoyant, and a medicine woman. She's written a book called Wheels of Light, along with a couple of other books, and she's done some work in the area of the human aura and also written about chakras, if you're familiar with those, an Eastern concept. Her name is Rosalind Breuer. She said the following that I would turn your attention to this morning. Healing arises out of compassion. Compassion is the genuine concern for the pain of another. The compassionate healers whose soul is present awakens the other's soul. Compassion is reinforced through the ritual of claiming a sacred space, and compassion triggers the momentary yet timeless connection of souls. Without compassion, there is technique or technology, interesting but not healing, end quote. So I would pose the question to them, as I might pose the question to you, what made the Good Samaritan good? Well, it was compassion. Again, compassion is the heart of Christian stewardship. God has endowed us and blessed us with the opportunity of a lifetime in which to extend the hope and the transforming love of compassion to all people, even here at 223 Bull Street. What does the King's grant of compassionate stewardship look like? And how does it work? It looks like doing justice, loving mercy or kindness, and walking humbly with our God. And it happens when we engage this world with compassion. Do we really understand what compassion is all about? How do we become compassionate to those that we least are attracted to those that we feel least inclined to appreciate? Compassion has four components: attention, acknowledgement, affection, and acceptance. Attention is being aware of the signs and signals or the clues to what is important to others. It is hearing what they mean, not just their words. It is noticing their abilities, not just their disabilities. It is following their lead and taking an interest in their life. Acknowledgement is letting others know you respect them and appreciate them as unique individuals. Following their lead, taking an interest in their life, helping them feel needed, wanted, and valued. Affection is providing the touch of human warmth, comfort, humor, and kindness. It is being with rather than doing for or doing to, as well as finding common ground, using appropriate touch to convey care. Affection is being both thoughtful and considerate. Acceptance is allowing things to be the way they are, being non-judgmental and allowing the person to speak freely, express feelings, and to feel safe and at ease with you. It is providing unconditional love. As a therapist, one of the major objectives I have is to extend the balm of healing compassion to those who come to me, empowering persons to set the agenda, normalizing their feelings, fears, and concerns, and providing them with a non-judgmental environment creates the atmosphere for effective healing outcomes. Mutual respect, trust, and connection occur, and they create that empathetic bonding, which is essential to the therapeutic process. Last weekend, I was privileged to deliver the invocation for the promotion and transfer of command to my sister-in-law, Colonel Laura Lee E. Barnes. And I might add that she was the first woman to hold the position as commander of the 186 Air Operations Group. It was my first opportunity to do a military invocation, and I'm here to tell you it was a marvelous experience. Just one incident out of that. There was a significant personality present, an African-American Air Force major, identified affectionately by Colonel Barnes as her sister. It was later revealed that they met while on assignment in Korea. During the assignment, the major developed Guillain-Barré syndrome, which often expresses itself with the virtual paralysis of one's entire body. Recovery is extremely slow. And this major, as I met her, was just beginning to return to some lighter duty. She teaches math at the United States Air Force Academy in Denver, Colorado, and has 3 degrees, all from University of Georgia, by the way, including her PhD in mathematics. Colonel Barnes stepped up and provided support, encouragement, empathy, and compassion through this recovery of this major. And it caused her to express her gratitude, the major that is, by saying, "I wouldn't have missed this ceremony. We are sisters." And I could only revel in the wonderful and powerful and beautiful bonding and relationship and healing that had happened as a result of that compassion. It was transforming, not just for that person, but even for those of us who hear what happened there. Church leaders and the Fellowship of Believers here at First Baptist Savannah have been wonderfully engaged stewards of God's marvelous grant of compassion. The visionary Dr. Tom Austin influenced the development of hospice here in Savannah. Likewise, he led others to create a joint counseling service to the community. And as many of you know, there is Austin House, a result of his compassion for the homeless. People here still contribute to this compassionate community ministry. Groups in our church have stepped up many times over the years and continue to volunteer and provide whatever is necessary to compassionately address needs, concerns, and struggles of people in this community whenever they arise. As we faithfully continue providing the stewardship of compassion, the Lord will grow this church. Let us not grow weary in being that compassionate presence of Christ here in this place. Let us, like the Air Force Major and the psalmist, whose psalm we read earlier, lift up our voices and praise our Lord who showed us how to be compassionate. The Lord has extended and continues to extend to you and to me compassion. Compassion to heal every dis-ease in our lives. Find yourself where Andre Crouch did when he expressed his gratitude this way: "How can I say thanks for the things you've done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love to me. And the voices of a million angels cannot express my gratitude. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood, he has saved me. With his power, he reached down and raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. So let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. The results will be an ever-growing church, which is aware of needs, a fellowship ready to reach out and connect and acknowledge others with an atmosphere of affection that will allow each one to find thoughtful, considerate, caring. And it will bring about the acceptance of unconditional love. So let us begin right here and go forth sharing the compassionate glory of God. Step up to become the compassionate Christ. Step back to give the glory to our awesome God. Amen.
Thank you.
As we come to our prayer time this morning, I mentioned something in Bible study class earlier today about how you can measure a person's spirituality by their thanksgiving. And I'm often reminded of what Henry Nouwen said in his little book when he talks about prayer. And he said, sometimes when you pray, maybe you just want to open your hands as a symbolic way of saying, Lord, here are my gifts of praise to you. And also as symbolic of receiving God's blessings in return. God blesses compassion. Let us receive that blessing here today. And even as we pray, please pray with me. O Lord, in the silence, we hear your voice calling us to be compassionate disciples, loving the world around us, aware of need and stepping up to be a part of the solution to that need. And we are grateful for the opportunity to be in that position. Father, this day, our hearts are led to many, many needs around this world and across this country and right here in this congregation. We would remember those in our country who have suffered tragic loss and who are at this time under the duress of wildfires. We would remember those in our land who do not have enough to eat or a place to sleep. We are reminded that it is our compassion that can step up and help to meet that need and can bring attention to that need so that others might join in supplying those needs. We are grateful that we can pray for one another, that we can pray for the healing of the body, the healing of the mind, and the healing of the spirit. Thank you for being the great healer. We confess to you we fall far, far short of being the people you've called us to be. And we beg your forgiveness, and we thank you that you offer that forgiveness freely and lovingly, just reaching your holy hands out and bringing us into fellowship with yourself. Give us full understanding of what that means and of the blessings that we receive as we are humbly in your presence. Give us the vision and give us the courage and give us the strength of your wonderful Holy Spirit to achieve every task, every opportunity that you set before us, because we know that's where the blessings are. Thank you for being a God of great blessings. And we offer our prayers in your name, and we pray together the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Today, on this Stewardship Sunday, we pledge our support for the future of the community of God in this place. We've had a long history of being light of Christ to this city, and in our giving, we commit to continuing that history. Christ calls us to step out in faith and see the amazing things that Christ can do through us. And giving is an act of faith. In it, we hand over some of the blessings God has given, and we get to see Christ use those gifts in amazing ways. So now, may we step out in faith together through our giving. Let's all pray together. O Lord, giver of life and source of our freedom, we are reminded that yours is the earth in its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. We know that it is from your hand that we have received all we have and are and will be. Gracious and loving God, we understand that you call us to be the stewards of your abundance, the caretakers of all you have entrusted to us. Help us always to use your gifts wisely and teach us to share them generously. May our faithful stewardship bear witness to the love of Christ in our lives. We pray this with grateful hearts. In Christ's name, amen.
You're invited this day as we sing this final hymn of worship to either commit your life to Christ as Lord, if that is what his Spirit is leading you to do, or to join with us in any way that this church receives members. I would guarantee you that if you make such a choice, you'll be choosing a loving, compassionate, caring family of God. That invitation is yours as we sing together.
Be seated for just a moment. Just a few announcements. Again, if you were a guest with us today, it was wonderful to have you. We have folks from parts of Georgia, some visitors from Florida, and also from Texas as well. Always give folks a chance to say hello to you. They can give you some great advice about where to go and what to see in Savannah. A few announcements for this week. Next Sunday, we will have our yearly cornucopia on the altar. And so you are asked to bring some food to add to that cornucopia. That food will, of course, like I said, be on the altar next week. But also it will be donated to Emmaus House once the service is done. So please remember to bring some food items for that. Also, today, The AGO will have an Advent recital at St. Paul's Lutheran Church at 3 p.m., and our own Cal Ballantyne is playing in that. So you can go and support him and hear some others play some wonderful music. This Wednesday, of course, we will have our Wednesday night activity. We will be finishing up our Animate series, and so be there for dinner at 5 and program at 6. Today, after church, we are actually having a fellowship hour sponsored by the Music and Arts Committee. So once we are done here, we will go across the street and enjoy some time together. And did I get everything? Next Sunday is Founders Day as well. And after church, we will have our third Sunday luncheon, and we will have a wonderful program by Ashley Williams and George Pruden. It's going to talk to us about the origins of our organ, which has been here for a day or two, right, Miss Ashton? Yeah. And so we will hear lots about that history, and it'll be a wonderful time for us to be together. I think that is it for today. So if you will, hear this benediction sung by the choir.
Mm-hmm.